All right, everybody. Welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. Would you do me a favor, friend? Open up with me to in your Bible to Romans chapter 6, verse number 23. Today, we're going to have a Sunday school lesson on what it means when the Bible speaks of passing from death to life, from death to life. Last Wednesday, we had a study on orderly versus disorderly Christianity. Today, we're going to have a lesson on passing from death to life and why we should be that much more sold out to live for Jesus, want to come to church, want to be the best Christian we can because of what we're going to remind ourselves today from the Bible of what God provided for us when we trusted in Jesus because we pass from death to life. So if y'all can focus with me now and let's pray together. Abba, Father, I thank you so much for your grace and mercy that allowed every single one of us to wake up this morning. I pray, God, that you would help us to have a spirit of concentration and focus. Help us now, God, while we're here at church, to put away from ourselves a distraction, our phones on silent. Help us to have a Bible open. Help us to enjoy loving you and loving one another. Help us to have the desire to encourage a fellow Christian here to be that much more like Jesus, Father. That's our hope, and that is the theme of every gathering, is us looking more like the Son of God. And Abba, whoever came in through these doors today with a heavy heart, any burdens that they're bearing, God, I pray that today, once again, they would call upon your Son to find in him deliverance and relief from the burden by trusting him, casting it upon him, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans 6, my friend, verse number 23, this is a famous verse. A lot of you use it when you're evangelizing, telling somebody about Jesus. And it's a friendly reminder for us, too, to remind ourselves of what the consequences were for our sin against God. So if you have a Bible open, please read with me now. Romans 6, 23, the Word of God says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So we're going to focus on this Sunday school hour is the word death and the word life. What does it mean now for Christians to pass from death to life? First of all, let's start with what the word wages mean. Wages, in its plural form, is a hire and or a reward, that which is paid or stipulated for services, but chiefly for services by manual labor. So for example, some of you have a job, you go to work, and then you guys get a direct deposit of your wages for what you agreed between you and your employer. I am getting my paycheck because I served them, and now here are my wages. I'm just getting paid back what I earn from my actions. In other words, this is the fruit of my labor. Number two, the word wages can also mean the reward or fruit or recompense, that which is given or received in return. Let's talk about that word gift. Secondly, in Romans 6, 23, the Bible says, "But the gift of God." The word gift can simply mean a present or anything given or bestowed. Anything, the property of which is voluntarily transferred by one person to another without compensation. In other words, if I take Diego out to eat or Eileen to eat, it is a gift. I'm not asking them to give me anything in return. That is what a gift is. Some of you guys celebrate birthday parties and you understand what we're talking about. You're just giving something to someone without expecting anything in return. Or some of you guys give to your church a donation, etc., etc. The act of giving, etc., etc. So I want you to see here, one thing was what we were owed by God. The other thing is a gift by God for what we don't deserve. Let's read it again now with that definition in mind. The Bible says in Romans 6, 23, "For the wages of sin is death." So what did we earn from God for our actions? That is, for our rebellion against God's laws, we earned death. What is death? We're going to talk about that today. But notice what God wants to offer you instead of what you deserve, a gift. And notice, my friend, what is that gift? It is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So today, one is something that all men deserve. When we labor on this earth, what we earn from God as a consequence of our decision-making, we earn death. We earn the consequence of that. That's something that God is going to give every soul who does not receive the second offer, which is gift, the gift of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. So now with that said, turn your Bibles with me to John chapter number 5. John chapter 5. We are talking about what it means to pass from death to life. And I hope today, my friend, if you did not come to church with something to be thankful for, I hope that you will leave for someone to be thankful for, and that someone is none other than Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you guys are there with me now, John chapter number 5. The word of God says here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath," that's present tense right now, "everlasting life, and shall not come into" what? "Condemnation, but is," again, present tense, "passed from death unto life." So here we have it, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, he offers the whole world. He offered then and he offers now, because the Bible is the record of the words of Christ preserved for all mankind to read. What does he offer you today? He offers you an opportunity to pass from the condemnation that you deserve to be given life that you don't deserve. So remember, Romans 6:23, it is what we deserve, the wages of our sin. That is what we are due from God for our deeds, our wicked works in our heart, our wicked works in our mind. We are due the punishment of condemnation. We are due, ultimately, a place called hell, because that's what we deserve. But there's a gift from God that he offers that is something we don't deserve, and he's willing and ready right now to give it to anyone who hears the word of God and believes on Jesus Christ. And right now, when you exercise faith, or when you did long ago, you immediately, in that very moment, you passed from death unto life. And notice that you are no longer underneath what? Condemnation. So if you guys can try your best to focus, I'd really appreciate it. Look at once again, it says condemnation. What is that condemnation? Let's go to John chapter number 3. Let's look at this now. I want to define for you that word condemnation with the Bible so you can understand what that, if you will, condemnation is, and what is that sentence of condemnation that we were under before we got saved. Look with now, my friend, in John chapter 3, verse number 17. And then we're going to read onward to verse number 19. The Bible says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to" what? "Condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So remember that, John 5, 24. He wants to take sinners from condemnation, and he wants to give them life. He wants to free and pardon sinners from the wages of sin, which is death, and he wants to give them life. So that's the will of the Father. He wants all men to be saved. Verse number 18, "He that" what? "Believeth on him is not condemned." So John 5, 24 again, immediately upon your faith in Jesus Christ, you pass from what? Death to life. "But he that believeth not," notice now, notice in your Bible, "is," present tense right now, "condemned already." Why? "Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So then what is the condemnation, Brother Carlos? Look at verse 19. This is the condemnation, "that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So you know why you and I were going to be sent to hell? Is because of our rejection of the Son of God. Our unbelief, our willful rejection to believe that Jesus was the Son of God who died for our sins and rose again from the dead the third day. That's why we were going to be sent to hell. That's why we were going to be given the due of our reward, which is death. But you know what prevented you from coming to Christ before you finally got saved? Is because you enjoyed darkness more than light. You were enjoying the pleasures of your personal sin more than humbling yourself underneath God's word when it calls you out for your sin, and then willing to humble yourself and say, "I know I'm a sinner. I know I need to be saved. I know that what I am believing in right now that is not Jesus is wrong. I know that what I'm practicing right now outside of the Bible living is wrong. I know it's wrong." So when you finally humbled yourself, you came to it, you got saved. But what is preventing your family members, your friends, and your coworkers is because they want to enjoy their darkness and their evil more than coming to the light. So today, that's the number one problem, is that people don't want to come to God because they are enjoying their lifestyle pleasures. It doesn't matter what the sin might be. It could be disobedient to their parents and they just enjoy pride. It could be homosexuality. It could be adultery. It could be doing things that we shouldn't. That's what hinders the sinner from coming to God, is because they want to enjoy this more than him. But notice, friend, when you trusted him by faith, he immediately gave you life. You pass from the condemnation unto no longer being condemned. That's the good news. Okay, now let's go to Romans chapter 5. Again, we are talking about passing from what? Death to life. Now notice here, Romans chapter 5. Once again, if you don't have anything else to be thankful for, you ought to be thankful for what we're learning this day, which is Jesus Christ helped you to receive the forgiveness of your sins, you no longer have the sentence of condemnation over your soul. If you die today trusting in the gospel, you will go immediately to heaven. You don't have to worry because you passed right now from death to life. And that should get you excited. Okay, now, friend, Romans chapter 5, verse 10. The Bible says, for if when we were what? Enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Notice there, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, and now, because of the resurrection, we shall be saved by his life. So I want you to see today, friend, that you and I are not saved because of our church membership. We're not saved because of our water baptism. We're not saved because of your good works or your bad works. You're not saved by your positive vibes, your feelings, or your frequencies. You are saved because you trust that God's son died for your sins. And you are saved because you trust that God raised his son from the dead. And because he lives, that's why you're going to be saved, because of Christ's life. So notice, you pass from death to life because the Son of God died unto sin. He rose again to righteousness, and hence in him, that's where all of that takes place. That's the good news. Now keep going with me now to verse number 17, same chapter. Look with me now, verse number 17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Who was the first man that sinned back there in Genesis? What's his name? Adam, okay. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So there's two men today that gave you something or that offer you something. One comes automatically by birth. The other one comes by a choice. By birth, automatically, your great-great-granddaddy Adam, he passed upon you the sentence of condemnation. He passed upon you his nature of sin and rebellion. And that's why you and I are sinners. It doesn't matter the shade of melanin that we all have. It doesn't matter if we're poor or rich. We all descend from that man and that man's choice. But notice, there's a second man. The Bible calls Jesus the second Adam in 1 Corinthians 15. He offers all of Adam's descendants grace. He offers all of Adam's descendants pardon and forgiveness, but it's a choice. So one gives you death automatically. The other one offers you life. It's a choice. You must be willing to respond to that. And if you have today, I hope you're thankful for that. And again, if you're not thankful for something today between you and your Maker, you ought to be thankful that you are no longer underneath the condemnation of death, but now you're in the pardon of life. Now, my friend, go down a little bit later. Verse number 21. The Bible says here that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So once again, this eternal life is only found in one man, one person, Jesus Christ, not in a church, not in a conviction of traditions and all the other things. It's by this man's life. This is what's going to help you to inherit and, if you will, receive it for the rest of your existence, the gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Let's go to the chapter to the right, Romans 6, verse number 4. The Bible says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like, so again, it's an analogy. This is not a physical, literal, if you will, act. None of us are physically taken back in time and then transported. Clearly, this is not necessarily a literal act that is taking place. This is a spiritual operation in which God baptizes us into the death of his son. Let us keep reading. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. So you pass from the sentence of condemnation of death unto the gift of eternal life by the righteousness of his son, Jesus Christ. When you and I trust the gospel, there is an operation that God does that we don't see with the naked eye, but I'm just going to summarize it real quick. God baptizes you into the death of his son. That happened 2,000 years ago. Obviously, this is a spiritual matter, not a physical. None of us are, you know, being transported back in time, every single sinner. No, that's not happening. You understand that. Number two, this is clearly not a reference to water baptism, because notice what it says, into death. So that's also, that goes out, that water baptism reference. This is a spiritual baptism. And so notice what it says here. He takes you, he crucifies you with his son's death, and then like he raised his son from the dead, he gives you a new life. You have a new heart. You are a new creature in Christ. So again, What did you get by automatic birth? You got death from Daddy Adam. What do you get by choice when you trust the man Christ Jesus? You get a new life. You get a new heart. So again, friend, so far we're talking about some good things that we all ought to be thankful for. Okay, keep going there now in Romans, making it easy for you left to right. Romans chapter 8. Read with me now, friend, in verse number 2. We're talking about passing from death to life. The Bible says in verse 2, let's read from verse 1 just to get some good context. There is therefore now no what? Condemnation to them which are who? Anybody have their Bible open with me? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of life in hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So again, positionally, when you trust Christ, you are no longer underneath the sentence of condemnation. That's how Brother Carlos is attempting to explain to you what we're discussing here this afternoon. But now notice, practically, if you walk after the flesh after you get saved, you might still have some condemnation because you're reaping the consequence of your own choice. Positionally, you're going to go to heaven. But practically, while you're still on the earth, if you don't walk in newness of life and you keep walking like a dead man or a dead woman because of sin and temporal pleasures of this life, you might get some condemnation. But that's another message. Look at verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life in who? Christ Jesus. So far, that's what the Bible's been presenting before you today. It's not in a religion. It's not in a list of commandments. It's not in a church tradition. It's not in membership. It's not in water baptism. It is in the person of the man Christ Jesus. He, the Bible says, makes us free from the what? Law of sin and death. So now, come back with me here real quick to talk about another analogy, another illustration. If you and I run a stop sign and a policeman is right there on the corner, what do you think is going to happen to you? He is going to pull you over and he is going to sentence you a what? He's going to give you a ticket because you transgressed the laws and that's a consequence. You broke the law and here it is. You know what the Bible just told you right there? Jesus Christ hath made you free from the law of sin and death. You will never, ever, ever be condemned by the laws of God for the rest of eternity. Why? Because Christ Jesus hath completely fulfilled them on your behalf. He gained for you and I eternal redemption and eternal salvation, not because of what you can do, but because of what he did and your simple faith in him. Friend, again, if you have nothing to be thankful for, you ought to be thankful for this. All right, let's keep going now. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Keep going there with me now, left to right. For those of you just coming in, praise the Lord. We are talking about what the Bible teaches of passing from death to life. That's what we're talking about. 2 Corinthians 6. Let's go now to verse number 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and then let's read together here in verse number 16. The Word of God says here, friend, let's read together in verse number 15. For we, that is the Christian, are unto God a sweet savor of who? Of Christ, not yourself. You don't smell good to God outside of Jesus, amen? You know what you smell like before God? You smell like waste. You smell like filth. You smell like wickedness. You know what the Bible says in the Old Testament concerning the works of men and their righteousness by anything that they could try to do? The Bible says that all of our works are as filthy rags. That's what the Bible says in Isaiah. So the best man at his best state, you know what God compares that to? And I don't mean to be graphic, but you women, you understand the menstrual cycle. That's what our righteousness is like. Aren't you glad now that in Christ, you're a sweet savor? Anybody here thankful for Jesus? So I'm thankful that God can smell my life now as something wonderful and pleasant because I'm in who? I'm in Christ. Thank you. In them that are saved, I hope you're saved. But now listen, in them that perish, so perhaps for those of you who still have family members or friends that are unsaved, to them, here's the savor that you offer to them. Here's your scent, if you will. Look at verse 16. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death. And to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? So to someone who doesn't know God, and they're still lost in their sin, and they're on their way to hell, they can't discern that spiritually. You're just another person living life, believing in whatever you believe in, and they're going to continue to believe in what they believe in. You're just going to go from death to death. But for the person who responds, you know what you gave them? You gave them life. And then when you shared the gospel with somebody and they got saved, you passed upon them this gift of life. And so now I can say thank you to the person who led me to Christ. They passed upon that to me. And thank God that you can be a part of that. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's keep reading. Going from left to right, verse 11. We're talking about passing from death to life. The Word of God says here, my friend, in 2 Corinthians 4:11, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our what? Mortal flesh." I like how the Bible gives it very simple. It defines it for you. What is the mortal flesh? This body right here, this carcass. This is just dark shade melanin. Some may all have light shade melanin. Again, God wants to manifest this gift of life through you to the lost and dying world around you. My question is, are you letting Him do that? Are you living a life reflective of eternal life? Who around you in school, for those of you that are in high school or middle school, who around you knows that you're a Christian? Does your dress present that to them? Does your speech present them to them? Are you still cursing and saying bad words? For those of us that are adults, do we kind of keep shy? Do we not wear a Jesus shirt, or are we kind of ashamed to talk about Jesus in the Bible? Are we being made manifest through our mortal body of God dwelling in us? Who knows that? Who knows that? Don't veil that, amen. You have the power of the living God dwelling inside you. I just want to remind you. Okay, two more places now. 2 Timothy 1:10, passing from death to life. Again, if you have no reason that you found this morning to wake up before God and say, God, thank you for, you ought to be thankful for what we're reading now, passing from death to life, passing from the sentence of condemnation that was over my soul to the pardon of life because of Jesus. Look now, 2 Timothy 1, verse number 10. The Bible says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So if you will, go back in your notes, Romans 8, we talked about that, the law of righteousness in Christ. He has freed us from the law of sin and death. So what has the gospel provided for you? Because this man died and rose again, it has provided for you immortality. You were going to die. Or I'm sorry, you are going to die, but before you became a Christian, you were going to die and go to hell forever, no escape, only to be thrown into a lake of fire. But now in Christ, for those of you who are sincere, born again, true Christians here today, the Bible says that He has given you immortality. You will never die. And that's what He promises in John 11 about Lazarus talking to Martha. He is the resurrection and the life. Any man who believes in Him will not die but live. And I'm just paraphrasing it. I'm thankful for that. One more, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, friend. Let's read together starting in verse number 14. All right, the Word of God says here, my friend, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Do you know that today? Do you know that if you're saved? Do you know if you truly are a born-again Christian or not? I do. I hope you do too. The Bible says, because we love the brethren. Do you love Christians? Do you find yourself gossiping against Christians? Do you find yourself hating on other Christians, disrespecting other Christians? He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So friend, here's the practical outworking of the new life in you. You ought to love because before that there was hate. You ought to be gracious because before that there was separation, there was bitterness, there was anger concerning your position before God and then hence your relationship before others. Notice what God has provided for you. So I hope you use it. So now as we've studied so far, death is the sentence of death pronounced upon mankind for the transgression of the universal laws that He has placed within the hearts of all men. We talked about that in John 3, the condemnation. When men prefer rebellion versus submission to God, where men prefer evil versus good from God, where men prefer darkness to light, this is the reason for the sentence of condemnation that He's placed upon all men. For this cause, as Jesus stated, God so loved the world that through Him and by Him and in Him mankind might be saved. But how and why? Because Jesus Christ willingly and voluntarily submitted Himself underneath those same laws that God ordained. But as a man, He perfectly obeyed them both inwardly and outwardly. And it is by that virtue of His perfect faith, His perfect life, and His perfect righteousness that we, the sinner, who believe in Him as our Savior, might be saved. This is the good news. And this is what it means to pass from death to life. Because upon our immediate faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father legally pardoned our sentence of condemnation, and He imputes upon us and credits us with His Son's sinless record. so that throughout eternity, you and I will be reckoned as sinless because of the sinless blood of the sinless Savior. Anybody thankful for Jesus Christ this afternoon? For this reason, we ought to be submitted the more to the one who died for us, who bled for us, and who suffered on our behalf, because he alone bore all our sins and our trespasses, because he alone is worthy. You know what he's worthy of? He's worthy of your body's submission. He's worthy of your eyes. He's worthy of your ears. He's worthy of your hands and your feet. Jesus is worthy of your desires. Jesus is worthy of your goals and your dreams and all your aspirations. Jesus is worthy of your money, your talents, your gifts, and your life. After all, he is the one who gave them to you. Acts 17:25, the Bible says, he giveth to all men life, breath, and all things. I want to leave you with these last notes. Remember what the Bible says, that he reconciled us? What does it mean when the Bible discusses the doctrine of reconciliation? It means to call back into union, to conciliate anew, to call back into friendship the affections which have been alienated. It's to restore to friendship or favor after estrangement, as to reconcile men or parties that have been at variance. I'm pretty sure that some of you have been offended by someone on this planet before. And I'm pretty sure when someone hurt your feelings, you stopped talking to them for a season. But at some point, you reconcile with them because either you or they said, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? I know I said something stupid. I know I shouldn't have done that. And you said, okay, I forgive you. And you were reconciled. Well, according to the scriptures, you and I were at odds with God the Father because our sin separated us from God. You can read that in Isaiah 59. And Jesus Christ, because he was sent by God the Father to live as a perfect man on your behalf, when you simply trusted in him, he is the one who brought you to the Father. He is the one who offered reconciliation between two offended parties. That's a holy God and a wicked sinner. And Jesus Christ, as the mediator, you know what he does? He unites us back into a relationship with the Father. Friend, if you haven't been thankful for anything lately, you ought to be thankful now for that. So Christian, I'll leave you with this. If you don't have any reason for rejoicing this afternoon, rejoice in this, that you were once an enemy of God, but now in Christ, you are a child of God. You were once on your way to a hellfire for the eternal punishment of your sins against the holy God, but now in Christ, you are on your way to heaven's glory to forever behold the splendor of heaven, a place of pure peace and righteousness. And if that's still not enough for you to be thankful for, you once were powerless to resist your personal sin and the devil's stronghold over your life. But now in Christ, you've been delivered from the power of darkness to light, and you now have the power of God in your heart to say no to your sin, to your lusts and your habits, and to resist the devil. You were once friendless. You were once familyless. You were once without hope in this world. But in Christ, you've been given a friend that will never leave you nor forsake you. You've been given the Holy Spirit. And you have been adopted into this universal body of believers, the family of God, becoming a child of God. So I'll leave you with this. You have passed from death to life. How do you now live in response to the gift that God has given you? Do you just thank God for it and you continue to live how you want, dress how you want, talk how you want, live how you want without letting him tell you how to do those things? Or are you humble and are you thankful to God every day saying, God, thank you so much for saving my soul. Thank you so much for forgiving me of all my sins. However you want me to talk with these lips, I'll do it. However you want me to dress this body, I'll do it. However you want me to spend this money that you gave me because you gave me life, you gave me breath, you gave me movement, I'll do it. You are worthy. I'm not. You did it all for me. What did I do for you? Nothing but sin. God, you know what? I'm thankful for the gift of life. Who here is living in submission? Who here is living in a manner that is thankful for what he gave you? If you find yourself not living in a manner that is thankful to God today, it is not too late to say, God, I'm sorry. It's not too late to repent and say, Lord, I know I have not been as sincere of a Christian. I know I haven't been reading my Bible as I ought. I know I haven't been really caring for things about Jesus. I may just be kind of going to church and playing around a little bit, but God, today I want to sincerely make a promise. I want to make a covenant with you, God. Today I want to start dedicating more of my body, more of my hands, more of my eyes, more of my ears. I'm going to start making an effort to put away the worldly music, to put away some worldly friends. I want to start making more of an effort to start making more time to read my Bible. If that's you today, I hope you do it, because he's done so much for you, he's worthy. And here's the good thing. Even if you don't, he's not going to take it away, because he loves you. He's faithful to his word. So today, I want to live in a manner that is thankful for the gift of eternal life. I want to live in a manner that shows somebody out there, this is what it looks like to pass from death to life. They no longer have to find contentment and joy in drugs, sin, and doing all those things. They can find joy in Jesus. But if they can't find it in you, then who else? So today, friend, that's the good news. You and I have passed from death to life. Anybody thankful for Jesus here today? Okay. Hope you live it out now. Let's pray. Abba, Father, I thank you so much for Jesus Christ. I thank you so much that you have proved to us today, once again from the Bible, of the beautiful truths that you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Not a church, not a tradition, not anything we could do, but Jesus Christ. Today, we are at different levels in our walk with you. We are at different paces in our walk with you, God. Some of us are sincere. Some of us don't care. Some of us love coming to church. Some of us hate coming to church. Some of us love reading our Bible. Some of us struggle because it's not that important. Other things are more important. The world's more important. But God, whoever are your children here today, here's what your Bible presented to us. You love them enough to send Jesus to die for their sin. Jesus made them free from the punishment of condemnation, that sentence of death upon their soul, and pardoned them, and immediately they pass from death to life. You have reminded them, God, that they are no longer underneath condemnation forever. God, today, if they have nothing else to be thankful for, maybe they be thankful for what you did for them, for what you offered them, and for what you provided for them, a gift that they did not deserve. Today, God, if any of our hearts are far from you, would you please draw them back? If any of our minds are far from you, would you draw them back? Would you help us to once again rededicate ourselves back to you because you're worthy? God, I thank you that they're here. Please stir them up, God, to be that much more thankful for what you did. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, church, 15-minute break. We'll get started with Sunday service. May the Lord bless you, and we'll continue. Amen.